Please, O Lord our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
Success in life, and I want to talk with you about real success in life today, has a lot to do with knowing where to start. So that's what I want to talk with you about, knowing where to start. And it's really quite a practical lesson, but today I want to frame it in terms of a portion of Matot Maaseh, our double Torah portion. It's a section we didn't read because we just read one section each week of the Torah readings, but this is a very difficult one. I'm going to read it to you and then explain a little bit about it. This is from Numbers chapter 31, beginning in verse 15. Moses here is chastising the people who were fighting against the Midianites for not wiping everybody out. Listen to his words. "Have you allowed the women to live?" he asked them. They were the ones who followed Balaam's advice and enticed the Israelites to be unfaithful to the Lord at the Baal Peor incident, so that a plague struck the Lord's people. Well, let's think about it. It's a much part of a much larger passage. But think of the moral conundrum that we have here. Here we have Moses chastising the people for not wiping out not only the women, but in the context, the children as well. And it's because of something that happened where you'd recall Balaam, and he, according to the idea, he enticed and motivated the women of Midian. Midian is like in northeast Saudi Arabia, and it's where I believe Mount Sinai was, but that's another whole story. Anyhow, the women there enticed Israel into immorality. And back in those days, you want to keep in mind that immorality often had to do with worship of pagan deities. And that had to do with the idea that in pagan worship, the idea is these cycles of nature, and fertility plays a very big part, because fertility meant crops and having children and all that. But it was a false idea because it involved this immorality, which for reasons we can talk about were not helpful at all. And Moses, in this very incredible moment with this picture of severity that is so offensive to our modern sensibilities, says, "You didn't wipe out everybody." Now, how do we handle that? How do we handle that? Again, we're going to be talking about a place to start. You'll see what I mean as we go along. How do we handle it? Well, one possibility is a common one nowadays. People who don't believe that these things reflect God's will in any way. Moses was just a product of his times, a man living in a primitive, violent society, and his view of God was just plain wrong. So it may be an incident that occurred, but the Jews are no better than anyone else, and Moses just made a huge mistake here, if he existed at all, that we're just seeing a reflection of the times. And that kind of interpretation would motivate a person like Richard Dawkins. Maybe you've heard of him. He's the evangelist for atheism. You know this guy? Anyway, he would view these kind of incidents through that lens, and he would say, well, you know, the God of the Bible is just a meanie and a bully and et cetera, et cetera. All right, let's talk about another possibility. The possibility that the Midianite woman's role in seducing Israel to idolatry in the days of Balaam was so threatening to newly freed Israel, it was worthy of the punishment inflicted. And that takes us back to the idea of sexuality. And in the Bible, sexuality is not just a matter of one's individual likes and proclivities. It has to do with society building. It has to do with order. It has to do with the way things are supposed to be. And the women of Midian contributed in a very bad way. Again, it's tied to religion oftentimes. But when we think about sexuality, it's supposed to be for the purpose of creating stable, healthy societies. It's not just a matter of one's personal gravitation, et cetera, et cetera. Oftentimes, again, the idea of evil connected, religious evil connected. I think of this whole Epstein Island thing. I wonder how that's going to shake out in terms of and the misuse of sexuality and how it may even be tied to Satanism. We'll have to see how that, the facts aren't all in yet on that, but we'll have to see how that goes. All of these answers are a function of where you stand, where you begin, the starting place of your thinking and your hearts with respect to these very real conundrums which we find in the Bible. We are offended at some level because we're all products of our times, and the idea of God telling people to wipe out children is just feels over the top. But what do we do with that, as I've expressed to you? Okay. The question is this, or it can be framed this way. Do we begin with our perceptions of life at a kind of horizontal level, how we just see things, you know, from the influences that we have, or do we begin with God? It really can be framed that way. We can look at how we act, how we function, what we think, in terms of where am I beginning? Where do I start? Do I start with the needs, my perceived needs of people and myself, and just this horizontal look at the world around us? Not a bad way to think, but is it the right way to think when we're answering these tough moral questions and when we're trying to contour the most successful lives for ourselves? Which is our starting place, one or two? Do we begin with people or do we begin with God? That, I think, is the principal question for today and an incredibly important question that all of us have to think about. Okay, so where we begin really matters. It really matters. If we begin with ourselves, I think ultimately we end up with a skewed view of reality. If we begin with God, we do much, much better. If we begin for concern with His glory, His purposes, His desired ends, we will have rich resources of strength to serve others, other people we love, because this is what He wants us to do. But our motivation comes from a much higher place than just beginning with people. Do you follow what I'm saying a little bit about this? Get this a little bit where I'm going? Okay. Now, this pattern that I'm suggesting to you, this pattern of thought, this place to begin, really is rooted in Torah. And I'd like to demonstrate that for you, giving two examples. Now, let's think a little bit about the Ten Commandments. Did you know that the Ten Commandments in Hebrew is not the Ten Mitzvot or the Ten Commandments? It's not. It's the Ten Words or the Ten, how would we say it? The Ten Statements, Aseret Devarim, the Ten Statements. They are commandments, but they're not called the Ten Commandments. They're the Aseret Devarim. They are the Ten Words. There's a difference here, and I say this in a friendly and non-judgmental way, but there is a difference between the Jewish understanding of how to break up the commandments and the Christian understanding. And of course, we have utterly sympathetic views on both sides of the equation, but I think I would favor the Jewish side of the equation on this one. In the Jewish understanding of the Ten Words, the first commandment is this: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. But you say, that's not a commandment. Well, we said the Ten Commandments are not fundamentally commandments. They're ten statements, the majority of which, of course, have the form of commandments, thou shalt and thou shalt not. We get that. But in the Jewish view, the first one starts with who God is. I am the Lord your God. In light of that, don't steal, don't do these different things that I'm telling you not to do. Don't bear false witness, honor thy mother and father, do not covet, etc., etc. The first word frames the whole discussion in terms of what we're suggesting this morning, And that is, we don't begin. We're talking about beginning. Where to start? We don't start horizontally with how to relate to other people, honoring parents, etc. We start with God and His identifying Himself. And because He is who He is with respect to us, because of that, then, of course, we're highly motivated to do the other things that we're supposed to do. Let me give you one more example. I call it the two V'ahavtas. Now, what does V'ahavta mean? Does anyone know? And you shall love. V'ahavta, you shall love. And there are two very, very famous V'ahavtas in the scripture, and one of them we read earlier today. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your might, your physical resources. Right, V'ahavta Adonai Elohecha b'kol levavecha b'kol nafshecha b'kol me'adecha. That is a V'ahavta. You shall love. But there's another one. Listen to this one. V'ahavta l're'echa kamocha. What does that one mean? And you shall what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Two V'ahavtas. But that one goes like this. You shall not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But then it continues, I am the Lord. Why do you do these things? Because I'm the Lord. Reality starts with God. It starts with who He is, not a self-referential orientation, which begins in heart and mind at the horizontal level with people, with animals, with whatever, ecology, military, whatever it might be. I mean, all the spheres of human activity. Let's listen to Yeshua commenting on the V'ahavtas. Hearing that Yeshua had silenced the Tzedakim, or the Sadducees, the Pirushim, Pharisees, got together, and one of them, an expert in the Torah, tested him with this question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the Torah?" And Yeshua answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and with all your mind." That's the V'ahavta, right? In the Septuagint approach. It's a slight variation. You have the mind in there. It's the V'ahavta. It says, this is the first and greatest commandment. Got it? This is the first and greatest. And the second is like it, Yeshua says. Love your neighbor as yourself. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. But do you see that even though the whole Torah rests on these two commandments, there is a certain privileging of one of the two V'ahavtas. Which one is privileged? Love the Lord your God is privileged even beyond, even though it's considered part of a summation of the whole Torah. That one is the greatest one. Not a self-referential approach to life, but an approach where God is put first. Beginning with Kavod Hashem. Kavod, again, that's another Hebrew word, but it means the glory, the weightiness, the glory of God. Beginning with His glory allows us to do things we wouldn't do as well. For example, it allows us to make sacrifices for Him and for the sake of other people, because our sacrifices are not ultimately rooted in the sphere of human activity. The sacrifices are because we're so crazy about Him and Messiah that we just want to see His smile. Anyone want to see His smile around here? I do. I really do. I'm not saying that casually or because a religious pro. I'm saying that because I really, really believe it. Beginning with Kavod Hashem allows us to make sacrifices for His purposes more easily, because we're not quite so, again, I say self-referential, self-absorbed, self-concerned. The point is, we're always going to have questions about moral and ethical questions that arise in the Bible. I mean, that's going to come with the territory. Wish everything was simple, but it's just not. And it was a book written a long time ago, etc., etc. We're always going to have things we're going to struggle with, but the answers will much likely be more in keeping with reality if we begin with Him and not just the horizontal view. I can't stress this enough. Be sure, as you run the race and you're lining up by light switches and however you want to conceive of that, right? When you're running the race, begin at the beginning with the Creator, not His creation. You'll run a much better life race this way. And paradoxically, you'll be much better for the people you love. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, and strength. And by virtue of that, let's love our neighbor as ourselves. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
In the mouths of the house of Israel, and may your descendants and the descendants of your people Israel be those who know your name and study your Torah for Messiah.